You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We're pleased to be joined now by somebody who's going to be working with us a lot later this week. That would be Adam Crowley, of course, the former host of ESPN 970's afternoon show.
It'll be fun.
What'd you call that show?
Well, that was the Crowley Show.
Oh, that was the Crowley Show. I couldn't remember that one. That was, Adam, it's good to have you on here. And as I mentioned, you're going to be doing a lot of draft coverage with us here later this week. In fact, you're on with us from with Matt and I from 9 to 11 on Thursday. That should put us in prime area for the Steelers draft pick.
That's exactly right. I don't know why I got the privilege of being with you two at that precise moment. But
we asked for you, you know.
Well, that's it. I mean, you just want somebody you can push around, somebody you can boss around.
Maybe want somebody to overshadow us, right?
Exactly. I certainly can't do that.
No, it's going to be fun, brother. I can't wait. We'll bring a lot of energy to the group.
Adam, when you're looking at this draft, and I'm sure you've studied it like everybody else, and I mentioned it, you're going to be there with us when the Steelers make that pick at 24. What is your expectation here? Where are you leaning at in terms of this? I think everybody knows where Matt and I are leaning in terms of what we think is going to happen here. What's your thought on it?
Ideally, I don't love running backs in the first round for all of the reasons that everybody states, you know, the fifth-year option. I was looking at the top running backs last year, not in the draft, but just overall in terms of rushing yards. And, you know, there are other ways to measure it back, obviously. But the top six guys in terms of rushing yards that led the league last year, none of them were first-round picks. So I think you can typically find guys outside of that first round. What I worry about this year is that, like, the first four or five tackles will come off the board, and then you're sitting there, and maybe the best value pick is a running back. So I'm not going to say I hate it if they wind up with a running back. I definitely wouldn't, but I would rather see them be able to get a tackle. But the way I look at it is I think that there are going to be some better tackles a little bit later on, and I do think that there is a drop-off after definitely those three top running backs.
Do you agree, though, that when you look at the Steeler position rooms, position groups right this minute, running back's the one that I think is the weakest?
I do agree with that. That's why, you know, I would love if you knew what would happen, right? But you can't. And you could get a Jenkins at 24 if he were there, or, you know, a Dylan Redunds falls to 55. If he were there, and then I'd feel comfortable, you know, if 24, if there's a running back there and you got Redunds at 55, okay, I'm cool with it. Mm-hmm. But they definitely need an upgrade in that room. I know a lot of people are taking what Mike Tomlin said today, the Steelers said today, that they feel like they could be better with the guys they have in the room. And I already saw Madden, he quote tweets it and says, if they really believe they're going to upgrade there. It just depends on the way in which they upgrade there.
They're definitely going to add to the room. I mean, it might not be a first round.
Both of them. I mean, honestly, the offensive line room, you could even add tight end to that group. All your guys that do that are the majority of your run game, mm-hmm. they're going to add players at all of those positions, whether it be in the draft or, you know, if tight end, maybe they add, you know, guy after the draft or something like that. But they're not going to stand pat with those positions.
And the scheme is going to change. I mean, they have a new offensive line coach and a new offensive coordinator. I mean, I think it's all the above was the problem.
Let me ask you guys this. Like, Najee Harris, obviously, in a lot of people's minds, is the guy for the Steelers and is the number one running back. But, you know, do you worry much about not having the huge, huge plays in college? Like, does that matter to you? Like, that was always a talking point with Le'Veon Bell, where he doesn't have the breakaway speed. To me, that kind of thing I don't so much care about.
I don't either, because you get your chunk plays in the passing game in today's NFL, but when it's third and one, third and two, you better be able to pick that up. Or if it's first and 10 and you get 5 yards on first down by running the football, I don't need to get 25 yards every time he touches the ball.
No, I'm in the same camp. It's certainly nice. Like, I think the two best ball carriers in the NFL right now are Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry. And those guys will run away from people and break the 80-yarder here and there. And it's a wonderful thing to have. But I would rather have the Lev Bell is a good comparison. You know, when six is blocked, you get 9 or 10, you know, and create on your own. And you mentioned it, I think, Adam. I don't know if we've brought this up enough, but their short yardage offense has been so bad. And it's not just the running back position. But this guy scored a million touchdowns. I mean, he's great in short yardage, fourth and one. I mean, that's
you know, and he catches the football.
And that, to me, is the whole difference.
Yeah. I mean, he's not Derrick Henry, where he can only throw him the ball once a game and hope he catches it and take you know does something with it. I think Najee Harris is a guy, if you get him out in space and he catches the football, you're going to see big plays come out of that.
I honestly believe he can become a Lev Bell 230-pound receiving matchup.
And he's going to run guys over in the secondary.
And then then smaller guys are covering him. And right. So, yeah, I wish he was a 4-4 flat guy and could take it to the house, but I don't really care. It's low on my list.
Well, now I'm picking your brains here.
We're practicing for this week.
Yeah, exactly. This is a warm-up for Thursday night. You know, a lot has been made about the age factor for Najee Harris. And then also, I mean, really with ETN too, I mean, just the amount of burn that these guys have gone through throughout their collegiate careers. Does that scare you off with either of those guys either?
Initially, I looked at that and I had Javonte Williams a little bit higher because of that, because he's only 21. He just turned 21.
There's like 2 years difference.
Yeah. I mean, in 2 years, it's 2 extra years that you potentially have the guy, but you know, we were just talking about this in the previous segment. Okay, so you get 5 years of Najee Harris on his rookie contract.
Mm-hmm. Pick up the option.
That gets him to 28, 29. You can then franchise tag him for that 6th year.
And then, send him on his way. You probably don't want him after that anyway.
And you don't want him after that anyways. That's going to be the same for any running back. And if you get 6 years out of a running back in today's NFL, you got the max value out of them.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big believer in there's only X amount of carries in that body, and he used them up already.
Yeah. Not everybody's Adrian Peterson.
Right. I mean, I'm not sure that I 100% agree with Dale's point that it doesn't bother me big picture because it's a running back and he's not going to be here big picture anyways. It'd be different if it's a receiver or a different position. But I don't think it makes him more likely to get injured either just because he has more wear and tear.
No, actually, I think that goes the other way. The fact that they have handled a heavy workload and not gotten injured, I think, is a check mark in their favor. You know, these guys that I'm not going to bang Javonte.
Man is a skill.
I'm not going to bang Javonte Williams for that, but he's not done that.
No, and it's lovely when you look at it and say, boy, his tires have a lot of tread on them still. But boy, Greg Cosell talks about
that's my argument with Trey Sermon.
Like, yes,
Trey Sermon. Okay, he had a couple of good games. But when he was asked to be the man,
even at Oklahoma,
and carry the football 30 times, he got hurt.
He got hurt, right?
Right.
I think Harris
says
that.
Yeah, I look at those top three. Like if I've done a bunch of these mock drafts, right, as everyone has, and you know sometimes Javonte Williams is there in the second round, but I don't think in reality that those three are going to be there past 36. Like I just don't see that happening. Like if I could be told that there's a 50-50 shot even of Javonte Williams being there at 55, I mean, I would absolutely go crazy about that.
Me too.
And well, let me ask you guys this. So because I love David Collins. I mean, who doesn't, right? And then you know Caleb Farley as well. Man, if he's there, we're talking about best pure guy on the board. Injury concerns be damned. I mean, that's another guy at 24 that I'm thinking, boy, I would seriously consider that.
Yeah, he's one that Matt and I have talked about, and you kind of hope that somebody else makes that decision for you and takes him before you have to make that decision, because, you know, it almost becomes a situation where, you know, can you afford to pass on a guy who, when this whole process started, I had him as my top-ranked quarterback or cornerback. You know, can you pass on that guy at 24? I don't know, but I don't know what the medicals are.
I also don't know, Adam, if the Steelers look at corner as much of a need as fixing the run game. You know, I think they really like Sutton. None of us know what they think of Lane. Farley's hard to ignore, and you might regret it in a huge way. But I think their first-round pick needs to be a leadoff double and not a swing for the fences.
I understand, I do agree with that. You can't miss. You can't miss
in this year.
And that's what, like, Landon Dickerson,
it's kind of the same way.
It's the same exact thing. Like, I would take him in a heartbeat at 24 if all else was being equal, if he were sitting there. I think he's a slam-dunk prospect apart from the medicals, but the medicals, they obviously scare you. Trading back is obviously something that, to me, makes an awful lot of sense, depending on how the board falls, so we'll see. But as far as the tackles are concerned, like, where's it become too rich for you to where you say, like, I don't know, I don't want to take Samuel Cosme at 24? Like, is that the line?
I think it's a Tevin Jenkins, and then there's a little bit of a gap between
– yeah.
And maybe it's only
– I think there's four I would take.
I think it's 10 to 15 picks, but it's 10 to 15 picks.
Right. I don't think Eichenberg. I don't think Cosme. I think Jenkins would be too hard to pass up and such a masher. Darisaw, I don't think, will be there, and I know Slater and Sewell won't be.
Right. So those four at the top, and then there's a little bit of a gap there between four and five. And then between – the gap between five and
– 15.
15 to 17 isn't very big. I mean, and that's why I think this draft, I think, sets up to take an offensive tackle in round two or three, because the value is just as good as the one that you would take at 24.
And, Adam, I kind of mentioned this with Justin Lane, too, and I do think this is the Steelers' version of a rebuild, and they didn't have a ton of resources. But my hunch is, and Dale brings this up all the time, too, is they like some guys on their roster better than maybe Steeler Nation does. And Zach Banner is like the poster boy for that, too. Like, yeah, they could use a tackle, and you should never turn your nose up at a – legit first-round tackle, no matter what your team looks like. But I think they can live with what they have, and their best days might be ahead of the three that they have.
Yes, I agree with that. Now I'm thinking through, you know, they're almost different answers, but what I think makes the Steelers the best this year, you know, gives them the chance to compete for a championship or whatever this year, is if they get a tackle and if they get a running back. You know, now that I'm saying it out loud, maybe even an interior lineman, like a center and then a running back.
Well, I think those first three picks have to be in the order, I think, has to be running back and then either offensive tackle center or center offensive tackle. I think the running back has to come first just because of the scarcity of the guys in the draft. And then you can get value at those other two positions that your second-round center or your third-round center may start from day one. Your offensive tackle that you take could start from day one because of the depth in the draft at those three positions.
Adam, how about this? Let's say Miami scoops up Najee Harris, though, and it's ATN looking at in the face, or Williams. I guess ATN's a question I have to you. Are you comfortable with him as your bell cow back? I mean, he's a little different stylistically.
Yeah, I think that I am. To me, Najee Harris would be the guy that I want at 24. Mm-hmm. And if he wasn't there, you know, Zaven Collins is staring me in the face, then right. I'd want to see that happen. I'm not sure that that happened either, you know. Again, the question for me is, where does Javonte Williams wind up going? How big of a drop-off is there for Kenneth Gainwell? Because I really like Kenneth Gainwell too. Najee Harris is the guy that I would feel most comfortable with picking at 24, though.
I think he's the most well-rounded, you know, in terms of a huge problem I think their running back room has had, and this would apply to Gainwell, is when he's on the field – The defense is thinking pass. You know, like when Snell's on the field, the defense is thinking run. You know, Harris gives you all the above.
Am I allowed to give a take apart from the Steelers here?
Sure, go right ahead.
I just love Justin Fields. I really love Justin Fields. I think he's going to be a hell of a player at the NFL.
Well, you're talking to the Justin Fields fan club here with Matt and I. We think he's the number two quarterback in this draft, and I can't believe that.
It makes no sense to me.
Other people, the people are talking about him falling out of the top 10. I don't care if he's, you know, you hear the stuff, well, he's got epilepsy. He's not a good leader. He's not. that's people trying to talk him down. To me, yeah. I think that's you know, coming out of places like Washington and Chicago, where, you know, hey, let's see if we can get this guy down into the teens where we can get him, because he's a better version of Lamar Jackson.
Crowman, here's my theory. Not even theory. Here's my fear in my worst nightmare. I think Justin Fields is going to be a New England Patriot somehow, some way.
I hope Mac Jones is a New England Patriot. Like, yes. If they take a quarterback, that would be the guy that I would want them to take. Justin Fields, he's got all the traits. You know, not a leader. That's a joke. You know, all I need to do is watch that game against Clemson, and it's just, why wouldn't you want to take that guy? And I always make fun of this stuff, like leading up to the draft, and not you guys, because you guys actually pay attention. Mike Pursuta actually pays attention. But there's a whole bunch of radio folk who, you know, pretend like they know, and they copy stuff other people do, and they lie for a couple of days leading up to the draft, right? And you see players rise and fall on draft boards dramatically. And, you know, like, Justin Fields was the second quarterback on everybody's board while football was being played. And then the second football stopped being played, now all of a sudden Justin Fields starts falling? Like, I'm sorry. I just think that's a little bit ridiculous. I get Trey Lance. I get the allure. But at the same time, like, I had time to evaluate everything that he did. And I'm not one of you guys, right, who's just, like, eating this stuff even while you sleep. Now, you can watch all of his 17 games. You can watch his one game from last year. There's not a lot of tape there, and there's no tape against legitimate quality competition, whereas I know what Justin Fields has done against quality competition, like Clemson in the darn semifinal.
I'll be honest, Adam. I was more impressed, and he played great against Clemson, but that game against Northwestern where he's playing with a sprained wrist that really limits his throwing, and he was still able to win that football game. Why? Well, partly because of Trey Sermon, but he was able to run the ball too in that game. Yeah. And that's what he gives you. Okay, we're not having a lot of success throwing, or it's a sloppy day and you can't throw the football. Okay, we'll just run the ball. And he's a big enough guy to do it.
Ohio State's obviously immensely talented and has better football players than Northwestern, but they were also riddled with COVID late in the year, too. I mean, they were playing with a lot of guys that they didn't plan on playing with. And then I heard an interview with his coach, too. You know, for the national championship game, Justin Fields had like half a practice because he was so injured. Yeah. He didn't even practice for the biggest game of the year. And still, I think he's easily the number two guy.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's funny. Like, you remember, Byron Leftwich, right? Whenever he's getting carried down the field at Marshall and everyone's going, oh, my God, this guy's a great leader. You block a shot in hockey, you shatter your femur, and you go out for the next shift, you're a great leader. Meanwhile, Justin Fields is out there banged up against Northwestern, and, you know, people are going to question the performance. I just think sometimes that things get overthought, and I think that's a situation that could be going on here, or it could be, you know, your typical smokescreen stuff.
No, I agree as well, and to your point about you know, some of the other quarterbacks, who did Zach Wilson play against last year that was any good?
That guy was never under pressure.
They didn't play anybody last year. Yeah, he's gonna get hit a lot more with the Jets, I guarantee you that. Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's not, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Not to say that I don't like Zach Wilson. Like, I do think, you know, the word that keeps coming up is spontaneous. And yeah. I do think that that's something that at this level, or at any level, I love it. I do understand why Trey Lance would have people all excited about him. And I even get it to an extent, obviously, with Mac Jones. But, you know, I look at Justin Fields, and I just see a dynamite kind of playmaker who has everything you want at this level. And I think sometimes we can overthink things.
No, I think, this is the, paralysis by overanalysis time of year.
That's it.
Just to give people a little bit of a preview here of what's going to happen here the rest of the week on Steelers Nation Radio and, of course, the iHeart shows here on DVE. We're going to be simulcast on WBGG and SNR, as I mentioned. Wednesday night, Matt, myself, and Mike Pursuta will do a show from 7 to 9. That'll be also on DVE. Then kicking off draft coverage on Thursday, you'll have myself, Jerry Dulac, and Matt Williamson from 7 to 9. Adam will be joining us from 9 to 11 to, again, be there for that Steelers pick. We'll have a lot of fun with that. The following night, you're going to see Mike Pursuta joining Matt and Jerry Dulac from 6 to 9, and then Arthur Motes and myself will be joining Matt from 9 to 12. Kicking off Saturday at noon will be Mike Pursuta, Matt Williamson, and Adam Crowley. Then Lolly, myself, Lolly, Crowley, and Williamson from 2 to 4. And then finishing off the draft will be me, Matt, and Wes Euler taking it home. And then, of course, next Monday you can tune into another simulcast show on WDVE with Mike Pursuta, myself, and Matt Williamson. Really looking forward to all the coverage this weekend. And I've seen you in passing a couple of times. I see you peeking in the door.
The other day you stuck your nose in, I heard, over our shoulder while we were talking.
Yeah, I mean, so transparency. So, like, my dad, he had to get a heart transplant. So he's been sick, like, the entire COVID era, right? And he lives a couple blocks away. So I've been doing all kind of stuff over there helping them. And so I wasn't trying to see anybody and then, you know, kill my dad. So I haven't done anything. I was talking to Pursuta the other day, and I was like, oh, you got vaccinated. You're probably going to be able to go belly up to a bar. And he said, Crowley, other people have actually been doing things, pal. So
Matt and I have gone out a couple of times here in the last couple months.
Yeah,
we've taken the wives
Lollies
out.
The Williamsons have been chummy lately at the local establishments.
See, here's the thing. I'm now double vaxxed. My dad
I get mine tomorrow.
He's double vaxxed. See, you're getting your jab tomorrow. I mean, we're all going to be sitting in the same room, breathing the same air for like 6 hours, and I'm excited about it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, plenty of draft coverage. Can't wait for that. And, of course, hopefully, you know, we'll, again, get that Steelers draft pick Thursday. Sometime, I'm hoping closer to 9 than 11. But I'm not real optimistic that's going to happen.
I'm hoping 11 after a trade down.
Well, that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be interesting. That would definitely be interesting. But we'll let you go, Adam. We appreciate you stopping by, and we will see you on Thursday night. You're bringing the beer, right?
I will bring the beer. I think it's only right. I would like to set foot in one of those beer-buying establishments.
There'll be Jameson there, too. Don't worry.
Well, you're going to be there. So
he didn't tell you it's already going to be drank. It's going to be in his belly. But, yeah, that was Adam Crowley. We appreciate him dropping by, as we always do. Always fun to talk with Adam. And you're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We got a couple more minutes here before we go to break, but interesting stuff there from Adam on a lot of things that we've talked about here.
Yeah,
I think he's a regular listener to the show.
Well, I mean, I just think the more, you know, intelligent people digging into this thing more and more, and you weigh needs and understand the team, there's not a lot of choose your own adventure paths that get you where you want to be unless you go more or less, you know, back center. Then to be determined, and probably tackle.
Yeah.
But, boy, you get three picks at a back, center, and tackle, you can change your running game in a hurry.
You've just fixed your offensive line, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
If not this year, certainly next.
Because you have a lot of options, and some of those tackles could go to guard if there's injuries.
You get really young on your offensive line.
And cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice if you don't have a bazillion dollars invested in
and
offensive line.
And you pretty much know who your eight or nine linemen that you're taking into the regular season are going to be.
Yeah, the guys that will be active, and they can work themselves out of who's, you know, DeCastro is the only one making a lot of money. With all respect to Pouncey and Villanueva, I mean, those guys ate a lot of cap.
You know,
I mean, it's a nice way to structure your team. And I did a mock the other day, and I didn't get the tackle in the top three rounds, but I took one in like the fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
And one of them had guard versatility, and like, hey, I'll throw another lineman in the mix because guys get hurt and someone's not going to work out. And maybe DeCastro retires in a year from now or has a bad year. Or, I mean, who's to say, you know? So when in doubt, throw one in the mix, even in like the fifth round.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, it was interesting when the linebacker position was mentioned today to Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert. Their eyes kind of lit up a little bit, like, and Colbert's like, this linebacker group is really deep.
Yeah,
he said, you know, back when he said it was interesting. He said when we took Ryan Shazier in the first round, I think it was 2015.
Yeah,
I believe
okay. 2014 or 15.
Yeah, he was the outlier Like,
sure.
He was the okay. He can. He don't. You never have to take him off the field. You don't have to worry about him in coverage. Just now, that's
even
the norm.
The Bush and White draft. I mean, it was those two, and then a drop off.
You know? Now that's the norm. He said you're seeing all these linebackers now because teams have to cover what they're seeing. You know, you have to defend what you're seeing.
Or whatever,
you better have linebackers that can run.
Guys that can play in space. I mean, I think that linebackers have gotten a lot more advice too. Like, work on your.
Or if you're a bigger safety. Hey, coach, how about I move to linebacker? I can, you know.
Yeah, right.
I'm 6'1", 220 pounds.
Guys like Barron and Buchanan led
those
the way.
Those guys used to stay at safety and be a thumper. Mm-hmm. Well, now you don't need a thumper anymore at safety.
Yep, and if you're a 220-pound running back and you run a 4.5-ish, let's move you to linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're seeing receivers move to
your
corner.
Son, you're fourth on the depth chart. We can get you on the field right away.
And you can run and play, and you understand what offense they're trying to do and change direction. I do think there's a lot of them. I wonder where that fits in for the Steelers. Like, I don't think Zaven Collins in the first round's out of the question. I'm not sure there's a second rounder that jumps off the page for me. But third and fourth, yeah. But that might mean you don't get a tackle till the fourth round or fifth round.
Right.
If you take two of them, maybe you're okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that potential for that, and
it's hard to fill them all.
It is hard to fill them all, especially when you throw a cornerback in there as well.
Right.
You know, there are definitely
mention an edge guy and a tight end.
Definitive needs here that you need to fill.
The sixth and seventh round are going to be real fruitful for you. You know,
I think you have an easier time finding the edge in the sixth or seventh because you're looking for an undersized defensive end.
Yeah,
you're not looking for a true. You know,
three-down linebackers are going to be covered.
Yeah, you're not looking for a 6'5", 290-pound guy who can rush the passer a little bit. Those guys are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
In the sixth round, you're looking for that 6'2", 250-pound guy who, you know, the 4-3 teams are looking at and saying, well, he can't play for us.
No. There's also some veterans out there, too, that can fill that need for you. At all these positions, to be honest, I looked at I guess it was NFL.com, or no, it was Pro Football Focus, put out their 50 best still guys available, and I hadn't looked at that list for a while, but I'm like, Steelers could use him. They could use him. You know, league minimum type deals. You know,
which is what's going to happen after the draft. Teams will fill those spots.
Yep, so. Without question.
He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We want to thank again Adam Crowley for joining us here in the segment. We want to thank Jacob Recht as well for keeping us on the air throughout the course of the segment and patching us through to Adam correctly. And we want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.